Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
Keep your butt out.
Yeah, that's the models out of mind, out of sight, which speaks for Brent Reed, who was supposed to be here, but isn't quite yet.
So it's model part or the out of mind?
Out of mind, out of sight. Okay, out of sight, out of mind.
See, you know what? I don't know.
He's going to be here, apparently.
Yeah, went on his own time. I think since he's had that helicopter ride, it's gone to his head a little
bit. Don't you think? This is the one in Brisbane during the Magic Round.
You know, like, I know the journos and that and media personalities, you know, there's real sort of media personalities and blokes who just sort of, you know, go a bit too far. I think the last couple of weeks, I have to have a chat to Brent Reed, Lockie.
When he comes in?
Yes, if he ever gets here.
Yeah.
Like,
what's the key message for him?
Well, look, there's no I in team, you know, but he thinks there's an E in me. So he's got to work in,
Hang on.
Back up, Sparky. Yeah. He thinks there's an E in me.
Yeah, so he thinks it's about himself rather than the team. Like, we're a great team.
So he's saying that there's no I in team, but there's an E and an M, and you put it together, it spells me. So there's me in team.
Yeah, that's right.
Is that what he's saying?
Yeah, I am.
Very clever.
But he thinks he's a bit too important at the moment. Look, I know he's doing some great stuff. It's going to his head. He's on every show at the moment. Mm-hmm. I just want to bring him back down to earth a little bit and just have a chat to him and just...
Back down to earth where you are currently?
Yes. So when he gets in here, I'm just going to have a little chat to him.
Give him a good dressing down.
Okay, I look forward to that. Now, as we know, as we look at that Tyre Power scoreboard at Tyre Power, buy four or more selected BF Goodrich tyres, receive a gift card up to $100. 15 points to 12, the Panthers over the Sea Eagles. Manly have been travelling probably above and beyond a little bit for the past few weeks, haven't they? They haven't exactly had the cattle, but Desi Hasler has got plenty out of them. Kind of felt that at some point they were going to struggle, and Panthers desperately needed the win. What did you make of it, Kurtz?
Yeah, well, I think Manly was smart by Penrith. Obviously, they've made some changes over the last couple of weeks to some personnel, and I think especially the form of their back five, I think they really struggled coming out of their own end this year with some of their guys, like, you know, the Source and Edwards and that, with their confidence and dropping boards, Blake and Watini's Lesniak. So I think they've got a lot of those fundamental errors out of their game. And they led, obviously, the Eagles in line speed and aggression off the line. And if you're going to beat Manly, well, the biggest part of their game and their success at the start of the year has been their go forward from their two front rowers. So Ivan obviously came up with a plan to get out and get at those guys and shut them down, and without having Jake there just to sort of steady the ship, and he's that sort of third man punch in, they struggled to play off their back foot. And I think they came through, you know, they've got a young halve in Cust there who's doing some pretty good things. But I think in those situations, sometimes LG, they don't get enough out of him. And look, they just did the little things right, Penrith, and they had some stars on the night. Obviously, young Mitch Kenny, who went on and
great job,
on debut, basically, not on debut. I think he's been
second
there
game,
the last
game,
couple of weeks. But, you know, played 80 minutes, did almost 60 tackles and didn't make really any errors.
Yep.
And we know that Kickow pulled out during the game, and young Martin came in, and he did a pretty fair job as well, involved in their first two tries. And
he got our man of the match on Triple M, so yeah. And also, people who don't think, you know, the split rounds, and they said, oh, we don't want to watch, you know, players without their rep teams and these other young players. Mate, if you get an opportunity, go and have a look on the social media of the Panthers. Young Brent Naden, how much it means to him. You know, just the emotion after the game and that, you know, I think he started in the Panthers, and then he went to a couple of clubs, bit of a journeyman, and then went back. And so, you know, those sort of gentlemen get an opportunity, and, mate, just the way he played, he was real aggressive. Because I'm just thinking, I said to MG, I said, who's this kid? You know, and that's what they've been missing, the Panthers, I think.
Well, wasn't it this time last year that we first caught sight of Jerome Luai?
Yeah.
I think it was exactly the same situation. He came in, young kid, had a big grin on his face, scored an amazing try, showed some fantastic skills. Haven't seen very much of him at all since. Well, certainly I haven't. But then he comes back in. Great feet. I mean, he wasn't probably as dominant as he was that game there. But his feet are so quick.
But when you mark up on him, you've got to push up on the outside and the inside. And he doesn't know what he's doing sometimes too. So, you know, how are you going to know what he's doing? And just that second phase and that skill play certainly helped. And even Maloney, you know, he sort of came back and they complimented each other, I thought.
Got a couple of big weeks ahead of them. I think they got the Roosters this week and then the Rabbitohs the week after, and those sides sort of won't be affected by, well, they'll be backing up from Origin, but still think, you know, they struggled. Their two tries last night or on Thursday night came from a kick, obviously, which was Martin's, I think, the second try of the game, and then a nice inside ball to Martin, then broke open the defence. Still out of their own backfield, you know, and they're still having issues of breaking down defence when they're in those areas where they need to come up with set plays or whatever to score tries. And I think they'll struggle against sides like the Roosters and Souths unless they can, I don't know, come up with different ways to break that down their defense.
I hate the new stripping rule.
You don't like it, Tom?
No, I love it.
Don't like it. The notion that you can, if you've got more than one in the tackle, obviously you can't strip, but you can start with that and then you can peel off. And if there's only one left, that person can strip the ball. How does the person who's being tackled know? You close your eyes. How many times? You don't know how many hands are on your back.
It doesn't matter.
How do you know?
I'm with you, Tate.
It's nonsense.
I love it.
I'm with you. It's absolute nonsense.
It's gamesmanship. It's just what it's about. Like, so you, I know you don't know, but I like it. Like, if you're going to go for it and someone hasn't dropped off, well, you get penalised. But then if you've got the ball, just hold on to the ball. We've seen too many blokes just let that ball go willy-nilly. So
yeah, but
I'm
if
happy.
You've come, you've been hit by three guys, one round the legs, two up up top, and you go, "Well, I'm tackled."
Yep.
The notion that suddenly those guys just disappear, you know, you may well be getting ready to play the ball, so the ball's not as carried.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan, Tanner. I'm with you. But the one thing I do like about it though is that, especially if there's a side that's chasing a lead and there's a couple of minutes to go, it does bring them back into the contest. Whereas before, when you couldn't steal the football, you know, sides could just go to ground with it and usually sort of close out the game. But yeah, I'm with you. Like, I mean, to be a player out there that's got a couple of guys on you fighting to stay on your feet or to play the ball, and then all of a sudden a couple of guys fall off and you relax and you lose the ball.
I like it.
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
Cameron Munster, I think he's three strips.
I reckon it should be one on one. If you get in for a one-on-one tackle and no one else comes in, you can do it.
Totally agree with you.
Negative. Go away.
Go away. I love your argument. We do have a Triple M NRL fan survey. 133353 as a number. Give us a call now. Also, of course, go to the Triple M, the Facebook page. The question is, should the NRL regular season shut down over the origin period? So we wouldn't see the likes of, as you said there, Jerome Luai come back and other guys make their debuts, but the football isn't of the standard you want. Should the regular season shut down and we concentrate solely on origin over a three-week period? 60% it's running at the moment for people in favour of shutting down the NRL season.
Tony, what year was it that the Dragons went in to a campaign? I think Benny might have been down there.
2011.
And you had like eight or nine, or maybe 10 players.
Yep.
And then you came out at the end of the series, you were like seventh or eighth or something.
Yeah. Yep.
And you just couldn't go on at the end of it, could you?
Correct. And Wayne Bennett, in fact, said after the South Sydney game last night, saying that it's not the first time that he's gone into an origin period where the team was at the top of the table.
Yeah,
they come out at the end and they're 6-7.
Yeah. I remember because then they had to go to Suncorp Stadium, play the Broncos. The Broncos knocked them out, Aussie Ambassador at the time. And I remember going in the dressing room and then Benny Hornby and Dean Young were crying. And he goes, "Come on, boys." He goes, "I don't do sad." Just, you know,
Because not only is it obviously the physical, it's the emotional as well. And so if you've got guys, you've got eight or nine players that come out of that series, it's going to take a toll at some point in your season.
Love to hear your thoughts. 133353 is the number. Saturday Triple M NRL. Yes, very important guest. Just walked into the studio half an hour late, but that's okay. That's absolutely all right. Brent Reed, how are you, buddy?
Kid sport, Tone. Can't avoid it. I hear it gave you blokes an opportunity to carve me up anyway, so that's all right.
Well, we haven't finished yet. I
support you,
mate. I thought we were solid, Del.
You're a Queenslander. I'm a Queenslander. I support you,
that's
mate.
That's not what I heard, Del.
I got your back.
That's not what I heard.
Honestly, you're not going to do anything, Wendell, when he's not here. That's not like you.
He's got my back for sticking knives in.
I've learned from you, mate. I've learned from the best, mate. You never say anything in front of someone. You say it behind their back.
That is so true. Well, I'm going to say something.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, listen to this, Brent Reed, because this is some of your greatest work from the sideline. Have a listen.
Wayne Bennett was pretty happy with this side's effort. He just said we've got to get our last tackle options better. And I've forgotten Brad Arthur's name. Brad
Arthur. Oh, my goodness. Well, you fit right in. You fit in.
You know what happened, though? I took notes, and I wrote down his name on my phone in notes.
Yeah.
And I must have mistyped it, so it auto-corrected it to Arnold. So I'm looking at my phone going, it's not Graham Arnold.
Brad Arnold, still a man with two first names, so it still works.
Yeah. So anyway.
I'll give you the tip. Just make something up, mate.
Well, that's what Gerds accused me of a few weeks ago.
That's what he usually does.
Yeah, okay. We've all done that.
Well, I had to change it last night because they both said the same thing, the two rooms, and I couldn't. That can't be the case.
Who gives you the information, though, Rudy? You go up to one of the assistant trainers or one of the medicos.
Trainer.
What did they say? And they just say, "Oh, you know, hold on to the ball." I mean, you could just make something up that would probably be, you know,
correct.
That goes against the journalistic code of ethics.
Oh, is there one of those? Tell us a few other things that are in the journalistic code of ethics.
I can't remember. There's a few in there.
There's not many, though, is
there? Free trips in helicopters.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You have to look there. At the, anything about
pretty,
the...
Pretty sure it's not that specific time.
Life's good at the top, isn't it, Reedy? Hey, it's good to have you beside me, mate, anyway.
Oh, thanks, Del. Yeah,
while
thanks.
You're in the mood, this is what you're here for.
Read about it. Oh, straight away.
Yeah. Let him get composed, Tone. Reedy's mail.
Have you got any mail?
Oh, yeah, I actually, Connor Tracy was amazing last night in his debut, wasn't he, Connor Tracy? When you consider what he's been through, 3 knee recos, his last one, he was out 15 months. I think, look, it's his first game in first grade, but South Sydney actually made him a contract offer for next year. He's off contract. He's actually rejected the offer, and South don't have a lot of room to move with him. So it could be that Connor Tracy, he has gone to market. He's gone to market, and obviously last night will help his cause, and there's no guarantee he'll be at South next year. I think they hope that their loyalty to him is repaid in some way, and maybe he takes a bit less to stay if he gets an offer from elsewhere. But, you know, he was in the shop front window last night, Connor Tracy, and he couldn't have done more, could he?
How old is he?
I think he's early 20s, isn't he? Yeah, he's been around a while now. Yeah. I think he's...
That's the thing. The kids are so confident, but obviously he's had those couple of near rickets, but he probably sees who's in front of him too, so he's not going to get out for a while.
And South's obviously got a limit to what they can go to, because not only do they have Adam Reynolds and Cody Walker, they've got Adam Dewey in the system.
Yep.
A young kid named Dean Hawkins, who apparently is...
He's a bit of a gun too,
he's
an
Adam Reynolds clone, they say. So, you know, they can't go and overspend on Connor Tracy, because that would... obviously leave their cap in a bit of disarray. So be interesting to see who comes in for him. I reckon there'll be some clubs come in for him after last night.
Yeah, he was good.
I agree.
Really, question with that notice, what have you made of the idea of the protest? We know it was happening, of course, at the Indigenous All-Stars as well, but Cody Walker, Will Chambers, Latrell Mitchell, the idea of them not singing the anthem before the Origin.
I don't have a problem with it, Tony. No. And a lot of white Australians don't sing the anthem. You know what? To me, it's not the most inspiring anthem. I know it's our anthem, but, you know, you listen to the New Zealand anthem, the American national anthem, they're a lot more inspiring than our anthem. So, you know, I don't have an issue with it. They choose not to do it, so be it. I mean, that's their belief, and we live in a democracy, don't we? So the blokes can do that. So as long as they're not dropping down on one knee like the American footballers were, they're dropping Kaepernick down on one knee. I think that'd be an issue.
Yeah,
but just by choosing not to sing it, I don't think that's a major problem.
Yeah. Okay. And the school sport, how did it go?
It was a bit of a mixed day, Tone. The young son they copped a bit of a shellacking. They lost 5-1. He got man the match, so the young fella.
Oh, so mate. That's the main thing. Anyway,
helps when your dad's a coach. and the older son, he had a big win. They won 5-1. He scored a couple.
Are you actually the coach?
I'm the coach of both of them.
And you actually gave your son man of the match?
No, I didn't. I wasn't there for his game. I had to leave his game halfway through and go to my older son's game. Through.
When you left, they were probably 1-0 up, were they?
No, they were 3-0 down. They lost 4-1, so the second half was 1-1 when I wasn't there.
Okay.
Reddy, can I ask this question?
Yeah, sure.
So the coach whisper, why are we seeing things about the coach whisper, obviously, in and around, but no one's actually got any vision or of him or, you know?
He's in Fiji at the moment. He texted me back the other day. He doesn't do interviews. He's basically done one interview I can remember. Andrew Webster got him. Webby got him last year, I think, last year. And that's about the only interview he's done in years, and he just doesn't do them.
Has there been any movement on the QRL saying they'd be surprised if Kevy was paying the $5.5 grand an hour rate or whatever it is, of what actually, how it transpired?
Look, I spoke to Bruce Hatcher the next day, actually, the QRL chairman. I think he was a bit taken aback by the headlines out of it. Bruce is a bit of a straight shooter. He's a bit old school.
Yeah,
Bruce,
I like that about him, but he's good.
You know, I think it probably didn't come across as Bruce had hoped it would come across. But I think what he did was... he put into words what everyone else was sort of feeling.
Yeah.
You know, I get the sense that Kevy's put a lot on the line in this series and by getting a Brad Stubbs on, because, you know, you look at Robbo and Madge and the way they handled what Brad Stubbs told them, and there was no real discernible change in their personality. They they changed what they said, but there was no real, obvious change in
the mannerisms.
Kevy's gone completely.
Well, it was like Poltergeist. His head spun around.
I agree.
The problem for Kevy is there's clubs watching this. There's club official. Kevy wants a club job. He's wanted one for ages. He was in for the Cowboys, in for the Tigers. If you talk to people a couple of weeks ago, I wrote something today. People a couple of weeks ago were saying Kevy's a shoe-in to get the job if Garth Brennan goes.
Yeah.
But you know what? If he loses this series... I think there's a big line put through his name, to be honest. He's got a long way to come back.
Because, as you know, Hatcher said, they all get there's budget there.
Yeah.
And Kevy, you know, he goes overseas. He can go to see the All Blacks or whatever over in rugby or whatever or soccer. And, you know, you just don't know how much is sort of going to be there or, you know, the cost.
Well, I mean, the Storm are notorious. They go every year. Craig Bellamy and Frank Panisi. I think Ryan Hoffman went with them last year.
Yeah, Seabold's.
They go away somewhere every year.
Yeah.
All right, we've got plenty ahead. In fact, next, while we talk to one of the legendary Queenslanders, Justin Hodges, will join us right here, Saturday, Triple M NRL. Triple M, rocking the footy on a Saturday. Arvo, Ryan Girdler, Wendell Saylor, Brent Reed, Tony Squires with you. And why wouldn't we once again go into the Queensland camp? Assistant coach Justin Hodges joins us. Hodjo, g'day.
Hey, boys, how are you?
Very, very well, thank you. We spoke to Jai Arrow a little earlier. He said he was having the day off. What about for the Brains Trust? Still hard at work?
Mate, no, I'm at home actually looking after the kids, give the wife a break, mate. So just put my little two-year-old girl down for a bit of a spell, which is good. So I get that a bit of a headache relief.
How's it been? How's it been the first few days?
Yeah, no, look, it's been good. You know, obviously, the first day we came into camp, we went out to Charleville, which is out in rural Queensland, just to pay a visit to the fans, which is a huge turnout. You know, a lot of families drove about six hours and 4 hours to come and see the boys. So that just gives them a bit of a boost and a bit of confidence to see how many supporters we got. But, you know, the boys trained good the last couple of days. So they got yesterday afternoon and today off, and then, get back in it tomorrow.
How are the boys that are injured looking, Hodjo? Coming along okay?
No, look, good girls. I think, Josh McGuire, obviously, he had those calf strains, so he just had a bit of a rest yesterday. I think it wasn't actually his good leg, his bad leg, it was the other leg that was giving a bit of grief, so he just had a rest. And then, obviously, Jai Arrow, mate, just resting that strain he had in his thigh, so hopefully the boys will train tomorrow.
Hodge, we saw Billy Slater coming to camp this week and do a bit of work with Kalen Ponga. What's your impressions of Kalen this week? How's he stepped into that role?
Oh, look, he's been unbelievable, to be honest. I think him and young Dave Fafita, I think, you know, two of the young blokes in their team have been quite impressed, especially young Kalen. I think we all know, you know, when you come into those teams, you're pretty hesitant to talk, you know, want to speak up in meetings. But, you know, Kalen's been pretty loud. He's been telling his forwards, you know, like where he wants them to be and where he wants them to go. So, you know, for a young guy like that to come into a State of Origin camp, he's been quite remarkable, to be honest.
Hey, Hodge, speaking of remarkable, Michael Morgan's playing some really good footy at the moment. You know, as a class centre, it's hard to go from the halves to centre. I know he's played there before, but in a big game like Origin, I know he can do the job, but tough ask.
Yeah, look, it is, Del. I think, that's something that, you know, we had a bit of a chat the other day, me and Morgan, obviously. He wants me just to have a look at him when he's in defence to see if he's in the right position. He hasn't played there for a very long time. But look, he's not too bad in terms of, you know, like he only plays three, and it's only another position where he's got to just step out to the outside. And but up against a guy like Josh Morris, who's a very classy centre, he's been around a long time.
Yeah.
But I think the one thing with Morgan, mate, is he's just one of those guys you can compete and, you know, doesn't want to let his mate down. So I think he'll go out there and do a job, and he's got the big ox next to him, big Corey O. So hopefully Morgan can talk to him and keep him busy.
Kevy spoke about how confident he was in this group of guys and how they'll perform next Wednesday night at Suncorp Stadium. Do you share that confidence about the result?
Yeah, look, I think so. Look, you got to come into the game confident. You got to make sure that you believe, and I think it starts with us first. You know, we've got to make sure that we've got a very confident team, and I think we do. I think Kevy and the selectors have picked a great side, and but in saying that, you know, those wonderful, talented players that we've got on our side, and just like the Blues as well, you know, if the forwards don't do their job, it doesn't allow guys like Ponga, Munster, DC and those guys to do their job.
DCE, has it fit well, the captaincy for him these past few days?
Yeah, look, he's been good. I think in terms of, you know, the chat around the place, and look, he's obviously been the number one guy who's been leading that, him and Will Chambers, you know, they've been very vocal and trying to lead from the front. But I think the best thing about it, mate, all the boys have responded to him. They haven't second-guessed him. They haven't challenged his authority, everything that we've asked to do. And you know, we had that, you know, DC trying to lead all that. The boys have been nothing but supportive, and that's what you need at this level. You need a captain who's going to lead from the front, and hopefully everyone gets behind him and supports him.
We see Will and Latrell go at it again next Wednesday. I'm sure you're looking forward to that one, Hodge. You've been involved in that at all with Will through the week?
Oh, look, that's one of those battles, mate, you always look forward to. And that's a challenge in Will in itself. You know, he's up against, you know, the best centre in the game in Latrell. And you know, you saw last year, you know, Latrell got the better of him. And, you know, hopefully Will can turn that around this series. But at the end of the day, mate, he's just got to concentrate on himself, get himself right. Because to be honest, you know, we all know he's got a huge task ahead of him in trying to stop Latrell Mitchell. You know, if you can stop him, you go a long way towards winning, because you know, we all know what he can do with the ball.
Hodger, you had some really nice things to say about Greg Inglis this week and what he's going through. Has he been talked about much in camp? Are you think you guys thinking of him and talking about him in camp this week?
Yeah, obviously, mate. There's the boys have been asking me a lot about him. To pass on some wishes to him and their thoughts. Everyone understands what he's going through. He's going through a really bad place at the moment. And but the good thing about Greg, he's obviously checked into the rehab. He's trying to get himself right because not only has to get himself better. He's got two little beautiful kids at home waiting for their father to come home fit and healthy. And let's hope he continues to do so. And look, I've been in close contact with his parents to see how he's going. And so far, all reports have been good. And the boys have just passed on their wishes. We might try and do a little video message and maybe send it to him over the next couple of days. But around this time, this is where he's going to feel it the most. Where this time last year, he's about to lead Queensland for the very first time.
Well, there's another bloke too that you were involved with at Club Bland and James Roberts. It was one of those things where it was hard for Anthony Seibold, hard for the Broncos because you've had a couple of young centres there doing a really good job. And one of the young boys there, Shibazaki, you coached him in the 20s, I think, and at the Broncos. But it was James Roberts got to move on to South Sydney now. Right move, you think?
Look, I think so, mate. I think so, Del. We all know what Wayne's like. Always likes to bring the best out of everyone. I think with James being up here by himself, he's got two young kids and obviously his partner. He wanted to be closer to home, and obviously home for him is in Sydney. And I think it's the right move, Del. I think him and Seabs have probably butted heads there a few times, and I just think it's probably the best move for Jimmy and his young family. And and we all know what Wayne can do with those type of players. You can always bring them back. And I just hope the best for Jimmy. I've had a bit to do him over the last couple of years, and he's a terrific young guy.
Hodger, there's obviously been a bit of talk about singing the anthem this week with the Indigenous guys. Do you have a view on it?
Oh, look, mate, to be honest, it doesn't affect me too much. Obviously the boys that have saying they're not going to sing it, I understand their point of view, and obviously the guys who want to sing it. I'm sort of in the middle, mate, to be honest. Every time that I've taken the field and we had to sing the Australian National Anthem, I've always sung it, whether I agree with it or not. For me, it's just something that we grew up on, and for me, it's more about remembering, the people that have come before us, and obviously, the sacrifices everyone's made for us, and that's the reason why I sing it. But, mate, to be honest, I don't want to comment too much on it, but guys like Cody Walker and that who have taken a stance, it doesn't bother me one bit.
All right, mate. Well, it'll be a great spectacle next Wednesday evening. Thanks so much for giving some time this afternoon, Justin.
That's all right, boys. See you after, eh?
Good anyway, buddy. Here we go. There goes Hodger. Thank you. Didn't notice he did say New South Wales.
Yeah, that's a fine.
And did mention Latrell Mitchell by name as well. Yeah. So his entire coaching staff hasn't taken hold of that idea.
See, this is what you blues guys do. You just sort of turn your back and you sort of can't wait to throw. What? Hodjo, he came on and you wanted to throw him under the bus.
No. I'm just noting we've just spoken to him. That was an interesting thing that came out of the conversation, surely. If he's not supposed to say it, he said it. It's not a gotcha moment or anything. Yeah, I'm just saying he doesn't seem to be worried about it, which I think is fine.
Kevin's probably on the phone to him now. Yeah. He's probably got the whisper in.
You don't need to bring it up, I tell you,
no? Don't I? This is Saturday. During the break, we'll have a talk. Saturday Triple NRL. State of Origin front of mind, but the NRL competition proper continues. The Eels 26 over South Sydney 14. A depleted South Sydney side, you'd have to say, with both representatives for State of Origin and the injuries that continue to plague the Bunnies. They now have lost two games. The Eels are a good performance from them after Brad Arthur, the coach whose name Brent Reed forgot. he put it on his players last time, didn't he? Said that you weren't fronting up, you weren't aggressive, and they certainly were. Anything out of there? Reedy?
Well, he obviously wielded the axe, didn't he? Timmy Manor and Brad Takarangi and Daniel Alvaro. And interesting for those blokes, Tim Manor particularly. Tim Manor's off contract at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. He's been at that club his whole life, hasn't he, Tim Manor? And now he gets axed. I mean, I think maybe Tim Manor's... I know Tim wanted to go around next year at Parramatta, but it doesn't look promising at the moment for poor old Tim. And Tacker's much the same. And they've still got half their side off contract, Tone. Mitchell Moses obviously played really well last night, but he still hasn't done a deal with Parramatta. They've made him a pretty good offer. It's been reported around the 750 mark per year. He's obviously holding out for a bit more.
750 is pretty nice.
It's not bad, is it? You could probably get by on that, couldn't you? But when you look at the halfbacks across the comp, number sevens across the comp, Ben Hunt, Kieran Foran, Nathan Cleary,
Ash Taylor.
Yeah. You know, they're all on around the $1 million mark, if not more, Ben Hunt.
Yeah.
And you could argue he's playing as well, if not better, than most of those guys. So I can sort of understand why he's maybe standing his ground a little bit. You know, Parramatta need to get him done, because if they lose him, where do they go?
So they've signed Gutho.
They've signed Gutho.
Brad Arthur's re-signed. Okay, obviously a different money pool. But where are they in terms of, do they have the money to go beyond 750?
They've got a bucket load of money. I think they're chasing Matt Lodge at the moment. Obviously, you know, that's going to cost them plenty of money, but they've basically only got about 12 or 13 players signed for next year.
You just mentioned sort of five or six players that are on big money and playing for clubs at the moment that are pretty much struggling. I mean, doesn't that tell you then as a club administrator that don't go out and offer these halves $1 million? I mean, do you think that at the moment the marketplace is changing? It feels to me, though, that the marketplace is changing just a little bit and it's sort of coming back a little bit more into reality because, you know, for a couple of years.
Like housing in Sydney.
Well, for a couple of years, you know, like when Benny Hunt and these guys, you know, they were in such high demand and they were all talking, you know, over $1 million, 1.2 and foreign and that. It was seemed like sort of crazy money, but there was a lack of that sort of style of play around in the game at the moment. So it was supply and demand. But at the moment, it feels like, you know, you've got a lot of these sort of halves and these playmakers now, you know, that are all at about the same level, and maybe their level's not $1 million. Maybe it is more of around $750.
Consistency.
I mean, you should answer that, Brent, what your thoughts are.
Well, I mean, I think that halves are rare in the game. Good halves are rare in the game. And they're always, the good ones are always going to cost you around that $1 million mark. I don't think, you know, obviously the Ben Hunt one and the Kieran Foran one, probably the market was too high on those guys.
What's a guy like Adam Reynolds on?
He's on around the $1 million mark. Okay. He's on around the $1 million mark. Cody Walker's next deal. Cody Walker's coming off at the end of next year. If Cody Walker hits the market, he'll probably get around
Michael Morgan, we know, is on $1 million.
He's on about $1 million.
Well.
What's he, 28, 29? Yeah. Cody Walker now? Yeah, 29,
he's 29
isn't he?
Now, yeah.
So is it a case at the moment of the position, and we've talked about this before, but the position being it guides what the payment is rather than necessarily the individual within that jumper. And the number seven jumper in the current market is around $1 million. Is that what we're saying?
Well, I think it is, Tone. I mean, that's what the average would be. I mean, Cooper Cronk, he's on $1 million. You know, across the game, the average for those guys would be $1 million maybe.
But what's a guy like Luke Keary on?
Well, I don't know what Luke Keary's last
deal was.
You'd
have to think 500 to 600, wouldn't you?
It was more than 500. It was 6-7, I think, the last deal. But, I mean, obviously, when Cooper goes, you know, Luke becomes the number one guy there, so his deal will go up as well.
Gee, there'll be parents out there hoping they have little babies, not big ones.
But even like, if you have a look at it, like Rabbitohs too, like, mate, it was a good effort from them last night without their Origin stars. And for me, Parramatta, they did the job. I know you did the game, Gerds. But for me, that Mitchell Moses, just that game management for me, just...
Gerds didn't do the game, Del.
Oh, sorry.
He was crook.
No, I've just been losing my voice the last couple of days.
But you watched it.
So I'm going to be quiet today, Rudy.
We filled in for you, Gerds.
I'm sure you did.
Yeah, you were there. You did the game last night.
I listened in. It was a great call.
Sorry. Even for me, Connor Tracy, he's a bloke where you can pick up. He can play halfback as well.
But one game's different to a season.
I know it is.
And he's coming off three knee recos.
Yeah, true.
You know, I mean, he's a risk depending on what you pay him.
Sure.
You know, obviously, it's all relative to how much blokes get paid. How much a risk they are.
I think a lot of it, if you spoke about some of those players, like everyone sort of, Ash Taylor, I think, got paid a lot on potential as well.
And because Brisbane wanted to.
And obviously, you know, supply and people, there was a bit of demand in the market for him. And then you've got, you know, Cooper Cronk that's been there and sort of done all that. So he justifies his move, and as does a guy like Michael Morgan. But when you think about, you know, Mitchell Moses, and he's been in the game now for 5 or 6 years, potentially, and he's sort of never been able to go to that next level, and he's never been able to consistently with that club, like take a club that was, you know, placed about where Parramatta are with a roster about middle table and really elevate them, you know, on a consistent basis to the top of the competition.
I'd ask Siskers, the flip side of that, has he ever had a really good roster around him? You know, if the Tigers, did he really have a really good roster around him? I don't know. Has he got one now? No, because they're going out shopping.
All right, we have to push on, gentlemen, because we can't keep him waiting. Very shortly, we are going to be joined by a living legend and an immortal, Mal Meninga.
Oh,
Saturday, Triple M, NRL.
Big,